20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much again for joining us today. My name is Dan Connick, and on our podcast today, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Matt Frelick and Janelle Mackey. Guys, how are you doing? A good weekend? Now that we're in the full, we're basically in the full swing of football season here now. You know, we're halfway through the preseason. College football starts up here soon. I'm feeling pretty good right now.
I'm great. I had my first fantasy football draft this morning.
Oh, nice.
It went okay. There was a few where, like, maybe I grabbed a quarterback early. I grabbed Deshaun Watson, like, the seventh round, so it's I'll live with that. But, yeah, full-fledged football mode, halfway through preseason, haven't seen 12 out there yet, kind of disappointed in that. But I always like to say the Green Bay Packers are Wisconsin's best export, and they get to go over to Canada this week. And you would hope that those fans paying, like, $150 to see Aaron Rodgers play, he'd actually play, because we'd have some pretty irritated fans to the north, eh?
Yeah, how do you like that the Rams and the Cowboys get to go to Hawaii and the Packers get to go to Winnipeg? It's still a pretty cool experience, but, like, yeah, just one team gets to go hang out on the beach and the other one's is Winnipeg.
You think the team that has to suffer throughout the season would get to go on a nice, right, warm vacation.
Right? That's – man, and what a contrast.
Well, and, I mean, it's against the Raiders, correct? Yeah. The Raiders in Winnipeg. So the team that has to suffer through the coldest weather and then the team that has to suffer through hard knocks, their reward is to get to go to Canada instead of – Hawaii. I personally love this. I love this new kind of trend now. I feel like this is Matt, like, you, last week you and I were talking about the trend of, you know, joint practices. I love this new trend of moving some of these preseason games to kind of these different locations that don't get a normal NFL style game.
I think it's awesome. Like, even if you stuck within the United States, like, you could put a game in somewhere in, like, Oklahoma or Iowa. Like, that would be kind of cool, or anywhere out west. I mean, I guess Vegas is going to have a team shortly. But, yeah, I think just spread – I mean, why not? It's just a preseason game. Who really cares? I mean, it stinks for the fans that maybe economically aren't thriving as well and they like to get to a game, or have some young children that like to get to a game. But at the end of the day, the NFL is just trying to spread their wings, and a game in Canada is crazy. Like, it's just – the Raiders in the shambles they're in. I mean, there's more stuff that came out this afternoon just about the discomfort there is between the organization and John Gruden and Antonio Brown. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, they don't even let him get on the flight. Like, it's just crazy. Like, I don't know. And the Raiders always have a bunch of guys with, like, questionable character issues. So, like, we were talking at work the other day. It's like, you have a DUI. You can't even get into Canada. Like, I wonder if there's going to be any guys that are going to check at the border and be like, hit the bricks. Like, but –
I will say that, yeah, they will probably – we had at – I know this is completely different, and, you know, if you're part of a multi-million dollar organization like, you know, an NFL team, it's different. But our the hockey team that I work for had a trade that they got a guy from Canada, and the trade actually had to be nulled because his visa – like, something happened with his visa, and he wasn't allowed into the country.
Sure.
But again – if you're the Raiders, you probably got enough money to kind of make anything like that go away. But excited to see that on Thursday coming up. So we are halfway through the preseason, obviously, with this game now. We wanted to take this episode to kind of run down position groups and players that were high or low on, depending on what we've seen in these first 2 weeks. Obviously, we've kind of seen both sides of things now, a good and the bad. The first week, there really wasn't a whole lot of bad, or at least a lot of the good kind of outweighed the bad. This past week, though, against the Ravens was a, as they like to say, burn the tape kind of game. So we've seen a little bit of everything from everybody. So where we stand going into these next two preseason games, and obviously there's a lot of position groups to look at that people are keeping an eye on when it comes to stuff like this. So let's jump into – let's start on the offensive side, guys. So, I mean, we can kind of hit on the quarterback situation a little bit. I don't think that really after last week – there's really not a quarterback that's kind of stood out as a surefire backup quarterback. So what I want to ask you for the quarterback situation, is the stock high or low for the Packers to look at possibly investing a high round draft pick on a quarterback next year after what we've seen from the two backups now? Because we've seen pretty much almost two full seasons of Tim Boyle and DeShone Kizer in this backup role, and it's really not, you know, anything to write home about. So high or low, are you buying or selling the Packers drafting or investing heavily into a better backup quarterback situation in next year's draft after what we've seen in the preseason?
Yeah, I think they definitely have to start diversifying their bonds a little bit and really just setting themselves up like for the second quarter of 2020. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a first round pick. Maybe a second round pick. I mean, there. I know the, you know, without looking offhand, I know that the quarterback class for this coming year is pretty decent. It's kind of top heavy from what I remember looking at. But I would think LaFleur wants to get his guy in there. You know, people are always saying that they had some chemistry between LaFleur and Kizer because they were at Notre Dame for like one season, whatever it was. Maybe there's going to be some continuity there. Clearly that doesn't happen, but I think it'd be great for LaFleur to get his own guy, learn the offense like we've talked about, and just kind of, you know, I've been saying this for a long time now since Rodgers got his extension and LaFleur was brought in. We're kind of on a five-year plan if you're a Packer fan, and you would think at some point towards the end of that, there would be an heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers or Matt LaFleur or whoever it is. So I would think you got to be kind of high if you're buying some stock right now in the quarterback class.
Yeah, and I would have to agree with Matt on that. You kind of talk about how Kizer and Boyle have had some time to kind of prove their worth and haven't really seen anything special. And like you said, you have to think ahead. You probably want the backup to have some time behind Rodgers. You don't want to draft when you absolutely need the quarterback. You want to draft preparing for it. So I think definitely within the next 1 to 2 draft years, I think they really need to start looking at that, because Kizer, who has even had time as a starter, not really anything special that I've seen. Boyle definitely wouldn't be a starter. So, yeah, I think you kind of have to start looking out into the future. And they're backup players. They're solid backup players, but there's just no consistency with them. And you got to start thinking ahead. Like you said, you got to think of that 5-year plan.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I think that there's a case to be made for, you know, either drafting a player that can develop into a solid backup quarterback, because, you know, for me, a solid backup quarterback is somebody that if, you know, your main guy goes down, he can at least kind of tread water. And I honestly, you know, I really like DeShone Kizer, especially coming out of college. But when they got him from the Browns, I was actually pretty excited about it. He hasn't shown that he can kind of sustain this team, and I don't know if he's essentially had basically three different coaches in 3 years of being in the NFL. But if you're going to be a professional in the NFL, you've got to be able to kind of make it work wherever and with whomever. So. I would think at this point you've got to start looking at finding somebody that can take over that backup role, and with the injuries that Rodgers has had the last couple of years, you've got to have somebody in the background that can, you know, come in and, like I said, tread water if the situation comes up. But a position group that's a little bit more wide open is the running back group, but more specifically the kind of that third running back position. Obviously, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams kind of have those two starting jobs locked down. But, you know, there's room for a third guy here, and there's a couple of different candidates that we've seen so far here. So in the running back position, who have you been high on Who are you low on? Give me a couple names.
Well, I guess to start, like, Dexter Williams is someone who stood out to me right away in that first preseason game. I know he kind of struggled a little bit this last game against the Ravens, but I see a lot of potential in him. And there's even times where I look at him and I'm like, wow, he could maybe be a number two running back, depending on how Williams looks when he kind of gets some reps. So I think Dexter Williams is really making a case for making the roster. And I really look forward to seeing what he does in these next couple games.
Dexter Williams to me is all over the board. Janelle, like you said, the first game he was decent. There was flashes, but there's a few times now where I've seen him just make boneheaded mistakes. And I'm going to chalk him up to rookie mistakes. I mean, that's kind of a cliche statement, but the two that stick out to me are the first one is in the family night game. He tried to take a handoff, like, instead of having two arms, like a normal handoff, he didn't have his bottom arm, and he tried to, like, kind of corral it with his top arm and fumbled it. I've never seen anyone take a handoff under center like that. And the second one was in the game on Thursday versus the Ravens. He tried to catch a ball on a screen pass, like, one-handed, too. Like, I don't know what this guy – like, he's trying to, like, show off a little bit, and I think it's one of those rookie situations where he just I don't even know if it's a rookie situation. I think he's just kind of, like – not focused. Like, he's just like, it's almost like they've been practicing too much, where he's like, I've you know, done this in practice. I don't have to be as secure with the ball. But, like, that's someone to me, I would love to be high on him, but I'm actually kind of selling Dexter Williams at this point. Like, he doesn't, I mean, athletically he's good. I think he's really, you know, good between the tackles, but boneheaded mistakes like that, I don't really see you climbing up the depth chart. And the way the Packers have been bringing in running backs, like, you could see him falling off. I mean, his saving grace is that he is a, you know, a rookie this year, and they're not really going to cut ties with him, you'd think, right away, because they did select him for a reason, I think, to run LaFleur's offense. But that's someone where if I had to buy or sell him, I'm going to sell him at this point. Dan, do you have an opinion on any other running backs, or, I mean, Dexter Williams?
So with the Dexter Williams situation, if it was, you know, if we were buying the stock about who would be taking over that third running back role, he's kind of the one that you have to buy, I think, almost as like as a default, because really, has anybody else kind of stepped up and shown you that they want to take over that? I mean, Trey Carson kind of did a little bit, I think, in week number one. Darren Hall had a really nice run, really the only big run in that Ravens game. But, you know, Dexter Williams, for better or for worse, is the only one that people are kind of talking about. So he's kind of the – if you were buying for the guy to take over the role, it's him. But I'm kind of with you, Matt, with that sentiment that if I was buying or selling a guy to – like, out of him or the field to take over a running back position, I'd kind of lean more towards the field. Because, yeah, it's been fairly inconsistent early on.
Mm-hmm. And outside of that, I think, I mean, like you said, Trey Carson, I think, is one to keep an eye on. They clearly like him a lot the last few weeks when Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams have been out of practice. But just all the running backs they brought in, you'd think someone would maybe start, you know, breaking, you know, kind of running through the depth chart a little bit. You really haven't seen too much of that. I mean, Corey Grant, I think, got cut already. So they clearly brought him in for about, what, a week and a half, and thought the heck with him. So yeah, Trey Carson's one to keep an eye on too. I would almost, he seems very like solid, like it's a safe bet, where Dexter Williams I think is more volatile, where he actually could, you know, move up the depth chart. But right now I'm not even too impressed with the running back group. I mean, like I said, the two guys that have been banged up, there's just really no one that's kind of that you're like ready for week one to see what they can do outside of, you know, Aaron Jones. Hopefully he's healthy, but there's really no one that I've seen that's really like made me want to go out and spend some cash on him.
I think bringing back the fullback too, thinking about running back number three isn't as big as thinking about the fullback. So you kind of have some play room with that too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'd be lying if I said it in like fullback. So the fact that they have two of them now is awesome.
Well, and running some of those tight ends, you know, in that kind of H-back, fullback, you know, situation in some of those. We saw Tonyan do that last year. So they've got options in the backfield. And the thing with this is it's really kind of first world problems when it comes to finding out a position group, because you've got two guys already, especially a number one in Aaron Jones. you've got two guys that can really hold down that position. So really it's just kind of to find, you know, the cherry on top of that running back group back there.
Sure.
One that's a little bit more kind of up in the air is the wide receiving core. Obviously very hotly contested as we've gone through this whole preseason. We've talked about it in our group here a couple of times about the wide receiving core. It's really kind of the one that people have probably had the most to say about. It's been the most divisive. Outside of Davante Adams and probably Geronimo Allison, things are kind of wide open. So let's throw it out. Who are we high on? Who are we low on? I have a feeling that I know somebody that is going to be trending upwards for you guys. But who do you like?
Yeah, I'll start. I mean, I think for making any more analogies, I would say the wide receiver group is kind of like cryptocurrency. You really have no idea who's going to expose. Like Bitcoin is like Davante Adams, and everything after that is like you have no idea where people are falling, you know, what they're buying, you know, you have no idea. So I'm just going to start on the low end. Trevor Davis, I mean, I've been kind of beating the drum that I'm not a big Trevor Davis fan. I don't like someone that's just going to come on the team and really kind of be a one-trick pony. But again, he's injured. Like, he can't even get on the field. That was his thing last preseason, and he's hurt again, and there's other guys we're going to talk about here that are making opportunities from that. So that's someone I'm selling right now. After that, I think the sky's pretty bright for everyone else on the list, but that's one I'm definitely selling right off the bat.
And one that I would sell, Jamon Moore is kind of like my Dexter Williams. He's somebody who, like, yeah. I was very disappointed with him week one. He's not consistent. He'll make the big play, but then he'll drop the easy one. So he's someone that, over time, you're like, okay, I don't really see you having a spot on this team, but especially with players like Shepard and Lazard and Kumaro kind of on that high, and you kind of wonder if EQ even has a place on this team now with all those rising stars in the receiver group. So I would definitely say Moore, and like you said, Davis, they might be out this year, but Shepard, he's been killing it. Him and Boyle have been doing really well with their connection, but I really like what I'm seeing from him and Lazard. Right away, he was looking really good. And obviously, you have Kumaro, who has a lot of high praise from a lot of people, especially Rodgers. So those are three that I'm excited to see where they end up, especially Shepard and Lazard. But yeah, Moore, Davis, and then I'm kind of even wondering about EQ, where he'll end up.
Yeah, I thought Equanimeous St. Brown would have a little bit more, kind of more reps in the preseason so far, and you've seen a little bit from him, but I haven't seen anything super flashy that I expected. I mean, there was some plays he had the end of last year that I was like, wow, this guy's, you know, make some plays once in a while, and I really haven't seen that from him. Kind of strange. Dan, what are you seeing with the wide receiver group? Who are you buying? Who are you selling?
Well, I think you guys hit on something interesting with that. But, you know, the guys that at the beginning of the preseason you were kind of hoping to see take over that you know, that second, third, fourth guy kind of roles, like the Trevor Davis, the Equanimeous St. Browns, like guys like that who, you know, people were, I think, pretty high on, have really, you know, not shown anything this preseason. And I think Janelle brings up something that not a lot of people are mentioning, is that you know, I think she's right. EQ, you know, could be at risk of kind of getting lost in the shuffle of these guys that are coming out and really making a name for themselves, like Alan Lazard. And Darius Shepard, I think, is one of the key ones too, because, you know, when we talked earlier this preseason about some of the wide receiving guys on this team, I mentioned that I was higher on Trevor Davis than, you know, others were, because I thought that he had the speed to make it as a return guy, a special teams kind of guy. But then, yeah, like, you can't stay healthy. You can't make it on the field. The best ability is availability, and you can't stay on the field and contribute. And now you've got a guy like Darius Shepard who, you know, has shown that he could possibly take over that role, which, you know, if Davis couldn't find a role in the wide receiving group, it was going to be in that receiving, the return game. And now you've got somebody that's taken over both of those, basically. Right. And so, yeah, I think this is a group that's highlighted by a lot of rising stars. You know, I don't know. Is there like a like this would be like, you know, if Pepsi stock was like plummeting and like Faygo or Big K Cola or something was skyrocketing up. Now, it's a group that there's still a lot more. I think really the big key is to see how this works with Aaron Rodgers, obviously. You know, I think that's kind of the last key thing. Who is he familiar with? We saw it help Kumro last year and his ability to kind of make it onto this roster. So, yeah, still a lot more up in the air for the Packers wide receiver. I like what you said there, Matt. It's kind of – it's cryptocurrency. You don't really know what the heck's going on with any of it.
Yeah, and on a positive side, I would think, you know, I really like Darius Shepherd. I like what he did on Thursday in the return game specifically. He – right off the bat, had a great return, broke a tackle, got to the sideline, and you know extended his return. Good punt return where he was kind of bodied up in the second half and still ended up getting about 8 or 10 yards. So, I mean, if he can do those types of things, you're going to find your way onto a roster. As far as a receiver, I don't see it like right away just because it's going to be tough to beat out guys that I think are just in front of him, like Valdes-Scantling, like Kumro. And those two guys I'm super high on. I really do think – if he doesn't start the year as the number two receiver, he will work himself into it halfway through the season. That's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And then Kumro is that guy, again, where it's just – he's consistently making plays. And they talked about on the broadcast on Thursday just how he's just – again, it's we're beating the same drum, but he's just a very, very highly IQ'd football player. He knows how to settle down in the zone, find the soft spot. He's an older guy. It's just – it's so impossible at this point to actually keep him off the roster. And once he gets on there, I really think the sky is the limit just to fill in that void of like the Randall Cobb and another guy that can fill underneath with Aaron Rodgers. So I'm super excited for the wide receiver group. I think you'd be kind of dumb not to buy into most of the guys on the team. But obviously, like Janelle and I said, there's a few that you just don't really want to you know, buy into at this point.
So defensively, let's look at this side of the ball. It hasn't been much better than, you know, especially this past week, what we saw from the offense. So defensively, should we start up front with the defensive line? Is it linebackers? Where's the group that kind of gives you guys the most concern so far?
I really think it has to be inside linebacker. I mean, let's go back a year. You don't have Jake Ryan, obviously, because he gets hurt. And then it's just you. Oren Burks is hurt all of last year. Now he's actually out for an extended period of time. And, you know, Blake Martinez is solid. He's just one of those guys where you almost kind of forget about him, but he's always going to be there and he's always on the field. But then you have guys that are going to fill in the role. Like, is Josh Jones going to play up in the box? And he's even kind of a question mark. He's, you know, got into scuffles in practice, and I would say he's probably on LaFleur's, like kind of in his doghouse a little bit, especially with the things he was saying over the offseason. And then you look to see who guys are going to fill in. It was Ty Summers and Curtis Bolton. And like, I really thought Summers was going to have a good game on Thursday, and he looked exposed a few times, kind of filling the wrong gaps. Bolton looked really good to me. You know, he still made a few mistakes, got that interception. I was really hoping he'd be able to return a little further than he did before he got upended. But, I mean, those two guys, one of them is going to have to start between Summers and Bolton. Going into the game, I was high on Summers. Now I'm higher on Bolton. I think it's kind of a coin flip really at this point. Athletically, Bolton looks a little bit higher up there. But it's kind of a weird – like, it's a really weird spot. Like, they don't really have much else to bank on other than – possibly like a Raven Green or a Josh Jones, who I mentioned to play in that position. It's kind of stinks. Like in August already, you're kind of almost like pigeonholed to where you have to play some guys. It's either like these first, you know, these first year rookies who are super late picks or undrafted guys, or these guys are kind of hybrid positions. It's just it's a tough spot to be in. You're going to be, you know, putting guys in out of necessity and like desperation instead of want.
Yeah, and you kind of brought up somebody I wanted to touch on. So Ty Summers is someone who, even prior to that first preseason game, I was kind of following him, listened to what people had to say about him. So I was really high on him after that first game. I really like his patience. He doesn't just run into the line and hope to make a tackle. He kind of waits a second to see where the run's going to go, who's going to be where, and I really like that the first game, but missed tackles are something that this whole preseason so far has been a huge struggle for defense everywhere, all over the field, just too much running and in the open field where they should, yeah, it's frustrating. But I think Ty Summers is one of those guys where I think he has a very strong mind, and once his abilities kind of catch up to that, I think, yeah, he's still pretty young, so he's got some things like kinks to work out, but I think mentally he's going to be a very smart player, and he has the physical ability. He just has to get that all lined up, and I think that I would definitely buy stock in Ty Summers, and I hope that games 3 and 4 of the preseason he kind of gets back on a high, because, yeah, everybody kind of looked rough against the Ravens, so he's somebody that I'd like to see kind of start to get back on the high, and yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I like that point that, you know, the missed tackles that Summers had that kind of, you know, were kind of dampened what he did in game number one don't really, you know, affect me too much, because, like she said, everybody looked terrible missing tackles in that Ravens game. So it's not like anybody, you know, really stood out to in that position group. With that, with the Oren Burks question, now with Bolton and Summers kind of taking over that role, or at least you would assume kind of looks to be the person taking the two people taking over that that starting job, are we high or lower on Oren Burks now that this is his second major injury? And it really, I mean, he hasn't played. He hasn't played a meaningful NFL game at this point, and we're in his second year now.
It's tough because, like, everyone was saying he was having such a good offseason. You know what I mean? Like, he's really kind of grown, gotten quicker, and it stinks. I saw today he doesn't have to have surgery on his pec, which is great, but I mean, he's still going to be out for half the year, if not more. So you hate to see an injury-prone guy. The Packers have a few of them on the defensive side who I'm sure we'll start talking about in a little second here, but especially when it's a young guy, like, you really don't know what you're going to get from him, and it's so tough to cut ties with a guy right off the bat, especially a third-round pick Oren Burks was last year. I mean, I don't really know what you're going to get out of him at this point. When they drafted him, he was kind of like that hybrid safety linebacker as well. Now he's gotten a little bit bigger, and it just – I don't really know what you're going to do, Dan. I really – it's – you kind of have to have him do something this year. Otherwise, you really do need to invest in another spot, and I think – if I'm mistaken, Blake Martinez will be up for a contract extension this year going into next. So it's like you really need to invest some money in that position group, whether it's someone that's on the team or, you know, exterior.
Yeah, I agree. And, yeah, I think with the play of Ty Summers and Curtis Bolton, you know, James Crawford gets thrown in there too a little bit.
About him there, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like to be, you know, somebody that will probably fill out that special teams side of things, which you need, especially with the, I think, linebacking kind of being the big one, you know, guys that can tackle on special teams and can be a rotational guy. I mean, that inside linebacking group outside of Blake Martinez, it kind of looks like it's going to be, you know, like 3-man, maybe 4-man kind of position group. But the thing is too, and we didn't really touch on, the outside linebacker or the defensive line kind of situation. But, you know, the situation, guys like Rashawn Gary played up and down, you know, on the line. You can move him around with the way that, Mike Pettine's defense is, and you kind of brought up Josh Jones too. There's a lot of fluidity, especially in that inside linebacking position. And if you've got one guy, I think with Blake Martinez, you kind of have the ability to, maybe the analogy is kind of, buy stock on the margin, you know, not really fully invest in somebody to take over that starting role, but just kind of make it a platoon thing and just make something work. It doesn't necessarily have to be what everybody else does, but just a defense that works.
Mm-hmm.
staying on the defense again, moving outside cornerback position. A couple of names that have come up now that have made themselves known in this preseason, especially Tony Brown, one that's gotten a lot of talk. We haven't really seen a lot of Kevin King really this preseason.
A lot of visor and shorts. Seen a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, where are we at with the cornerbacks?
I think it's, it almost seems somewhat obvious for two of them. I think if you're going to buy stock low on someone right now, it's Tony Brown. He's really, really had a great offseason. Aaron Rodgers has obviously talked super high about him, which doesn't happen a lot. And then just kind of piggybacking off the end of the 2018 season, he's just really coming into his own, and I think it's someone that's super under the radar. And the second one to me is Jair Alexander. I would kind of, if we're making another analogy, Jair Alexander's kind of like when Amazon went public in 1997 when they were just selling books. Like, we're just going to sell books. And then all of a sudden they like break out and they're like, we're going to sell everything else. And Jair Alexander's like, I'm just going to cover the whole one side of the field. And I think that's someone that if you're looking for something to kind of, you know, pass some generational wealth onto your family, that would be Jair Alexander right now. So those are the two that I'm looking at. I'm sure you guys, do you guys feel similar to those two? I can't imagine there'd be any other feeling. Is there someone else that you guys are looking at?
Yeah, those are kind of like the two that you look at and you're like, okay, these are our starting cornerbacks. And then kind of Dan brought up Kevin King. I would probably sell my stock in Kevin King. I just, like we talked about with the inside linebackers, the injuries, and it's like, how much can you really trust someone who you never get to see? Is he really going to be that good when he comes back? Because he's got all these injuries. So it's just one of those things where you question it. And then you've got people like Tony Brown kind of on under the radar rising up that could potentially take away that position from him. And Tony Brown, like you said, he's been doing great. He's pretty consistent. And then Jair is obviously an animal out there. So you kind of wonder where Kevin King's going to fall now when he was supposed to be, before we got Jair, he was supposed to be that number one guy. And now he's kind of falling to like maybe three or four.
Yeah. And I think a guy too, to keep an eye on, didn't play a lot in the Ravens game due to injury. So he's been kind of been, you know, eased back into it, is Kadar Holman. It looked like he, from what I saw in the week one matchup, had a pretty solid first outing, you know, at least for a guy that it was playing, you know, his first game. I think he's somebody that you could look at with the way, if you assume that Kevin King comes out of this preseason somewhat healthy and is going to take a majority of snaps, Kadar Holman could be a guy that is a sneaky, you know, buy kind of player that later on in the season, maybe week three, week four, if Kevin King, you know, has one of his rash of injuries or has to take time out, Kadar Holman could be a guy that, if nothing else, fills in that role and probably maybe more so has a bigger impact on maybe a special teams kind of situation as well.
Yeah, I think Holman's a guy that they really want him to play nickelback. He's very versatile, extremely fast. He can cover, you know, tight ends, receivers. So I think that's a guy that, it's a good point, Dan. I mean, they saw something in him and they drafted him. He's extremely quick, like I mentioned. He's someone to look out for. I saw him, I think, maybe once or twice in the Ravens game, and I think he did have a blown coverage, if I'm not mistaken, or definitely, you know, just picked up the wrong guy. So again, rookie, late round pick, you're not going to, you know, expect that to be solid right away. But something I'm just kind of curious to see where he's going to end up just across the board. Right now on one depth chart site I'm on, he's listed as a cornerback. We've seen him play safety as Josh Jackson. Like, if we go back a year ago, I would have been extremely high on Josh Jackson. Just, I thought he could have been a first-round pick. The fact that the Packers got him in the second round, I was ecstatic. And you just don't, like, is he going to play safety? Is he going to play cornerback? That's a guy you'd really like to see fill in a role. I just don't know where he's going to play. he hasn't really been injured. Like, I don't know what the deal is with him. I'm not really buying or selling. It's just someone I want to kind of just throw out there. I don't know what you guys have seen or where do you expect him to fall? Does he take over kind of – because, like, now that you have Savage and Amos, like, he doesn't really play safety. It's just – he's not – I don't know if he's really the nickelback. I'm not really sure where to slot him.
Yeah, I definitely think the safety position has a lot more depth than the cornerback position. So I think – they'll probably keep him in that area. And kind of like you said, I don't really know what to think about him right now. Haven't really seen anything, don't really know what to think. But he was a big name a couple of years ago, so you kind of want him to do something great. So you kind of wonder, is he going to take over, maybe like all of a sudden kind of shine and take over the number two spot behind Alexander? Is he going to kind of fall back and kind of get lost in the roster? He's just kind of somebody that we just kind of have to watch and see. We really don't know what to expect from him right now.
Kind of the forgotten guy in that cornerback room, Josh Jackson. He had the opportunity, I think, to take over that solid second position player behind Jair Alexander because of, you know, everything happening with Kevin King, and he just really kind of there's been no buzz about him in training camp or preseason at all. And, you know, we didn't see him in the Ravens game at all. And like you said, Matt, like, it's not like he's, you know, he's not Oren Burks, where we know what kind of what his situation is. He's just kind of out there, you know, in the ether. No one really he's a big question mark, and a big question mark at a position group that could use some answers. Is there anybody in, as we look at this next game against Oakland, guys that you're looking for to maybe have a game where, if we were doing this episode after the Raiders game, we would look at and say, that's the guy that I would buy stock in right now? Is there a guy that you want to see in this next game against the Raiders to have a game where you could point and say, for sure, this is the guy you need to buy stock in for the season coming up?
I want it to be Montrevious Adams so bad because everyone's talked so highly about him, and maybe I've been looking down at my phone on a play or two and just haven't seen him do anything, but I just haven't seen him do anything great where they're really going to give him a starting spot. I mean, Kenny Clark was playing nose tackle on Thursday, and Montrevious is lined up next to him, and you would just think it would make up some, you know, it would make some one-on-one situations for him, but it was like Kenny Clark kind of was doing the thing right away in the first quarter. And Montrevious is someone that I'd really like, you really, really like to see, you know, play up to the expectation that everyone's saying. He had a great off season. Maybe I'm missing it, guys. I could be wrong on this, but I just haven't seen anything that's super, super fantastic by him. And then on the flip side, that's someone I want to buy low. Someone that I want to sell off is, to be honest, Jimmy Graham. Like, I think Robert Tonyan's kind of going to come into his own. I don't think it's, you know, right away in the beginning of the year, but Jimmy Graham, to me, it just seems like his best days are far, far behind him. He was younger, different type of offense, and now it's just, I don't see that he's going to get the opportunities in Matt LaFleur's offense. I was kind of going back, I said at a fantasy football draft this today, and I was kind of going back and look at some of their, like, the tight ends that were used in Matt LaFleur's offense. There's really no one that stuck out to me. I mean, there's really that had huge, you know, that was kind of like they were built around. I mean, I know Austin Hooper and Delanie Walker there, but like Delanie kind of did his thing. But outside of that, it's not, he wasn't taking any like low end guys that were making him any better. And like, I just don't see Jimmy Graham at this point really kind of being part of the Packers' future. I think it's almost like a forced issue at this point if he's going to get the ball. So that's the two for me on either side of the ball.
Well, and I think Jimmy Graham, I heard rumors that he might have dislocated his finger at practice today.
Yeah, dislocated or broke. Not good.
Yeah. Either way, yeah. Kind of a player that it's kind of like a make or break year for him. So, but defensively, somebody that I really want to see explode is Kingsley Keke. He is somebody who you hear the name and you really just want to see him blow up the line. So I think he's got some great people to learn from. I mean, this line has a lot of potential, the defensive line, even without Daniels. So I think if he can find his game and just really step up in this preseason, then he's somebody that I'd really like to see throughout this season get better and better and kind of fill empty roles as people like Daniels leave.
I was going to say Kingsley Keke as well, because I think out of the defensive that front four, you've got the biggest kind of question mark with the defensive lineman position with the decision to let Mike Daniels go. And so if you're kind of assuming Kenny Clark is that number one guy, I think Montrevious Adams, we've kind of seen what he can do in spurts, but Kingsley Keke is a guy that they took to, you know, come in and possibly compete for a starting job. And it's obvious that if you let Mike Daniels go, you had faith that he could become something. I think just to be a little bit too different, I'm still looking to see something out of Rashawn Gary. Again, I might be biased because I'm an Ohio State guy, but I really didn't like the pick in the first round for him, and I was cautiously optimistic when everything in, you know, OTAs and training camp showed that he was, you know, he looks incredible. There's an incredible break off the ball, but he's played, I think it was 68 snaps in the first two games and hasn't recorded a single tackle. He led the outside linebacking core in snaps in this Ravens game, and you can't do that and not even show up on, you know, with an assisted tackle. Like, there's been nothing from him so far. And, you know, a first round pick like that at number 12, and that's why I said when they drafted him, a pick like that has to be an absolute grand slam home run. It can't be a guy that you hope develops into something. It has to be a home run pick. And so I really, really, really hope that we see something this week from the Raiders game that shows that Rashawn Gary can be that. And then on the offensive side, I'd really like to see Valdez-Scantling take a step and show that he can be for sure that number two position, because I think you've got it up in the air with Geronimo Allison and MVS, and now Jake Kumerow is making a push. And there's a lot of these, like we said, a lot of these other guys that are making a case to, you know, see more playing time. And so MVS is a guy that expectations are high for him, and guys around him are not stepping up. And so can MVS come out and have a game, you know, hopefully in a situation here in the Raiders game that we see with Aaron Rodgers and we see all of these guys on offense make something happen with 12. But MVS is a guy on offense I'd love to see happen. Any final thoughts heading into the Raiders game before we wrap up?
Let's just hope we see Aaron Rodgers. Like, honestly, because the narrative for week four of the preseason is you don't play your starters at all. And we've seen years past where he doesn't play next to any time in the preseason, and it shows for the first, you know, few weeks of the season. I just really want to see 12. That's all I need. I'm pretty much at my point of like preseason snaps for Jake Kumerow. It's like I want to see him in a regular game. Defensively, I just hope it's something, Dan, like you mentioned early on. It's like they're playing vanilla. So once we get into week one, you know, on Thursday night versus the Bears, we'll actually see some real stuff. But I'm just ready for C12.
Yeah, I think I'm itching at the same thing where it's like, okay, we've got 2 weeks of preseason under our belt, but we kind of want to see that the starters get out there and take some snaps. And you kind of want to see what the new offense looks like with Aaron Rodgers out there, because obviously it's a completely different game when you're watching Kaiser or Boyle. It just looks horrendous, and you kind of want to see, okay, what's it going to look like prior to the Bears game, because it kind of makes you a little nervous if he doesn't take any snaps with this new offense prior to that game. But I don't know, it's kind of a gamble at that point. Like, do you really want to play him? Do you want to risk it, or you just want to sit him, especially if he's having some back tightness? It's hard not to watch him because Boyle and Kaiser make it a little difficult, but we kind of have to understand if he's going to sit.
Yeah, it's kind of, at this point, it's become kind of like the Camp Krusty episode of The Simpsons, where everyone expects Krusty to show up, but instead they bring out Barney, and it's, no, it's Krusty the Clown, but he won't be talking or doing anything. And it's like, that's exactly what watching, like, when you're expecting Aaron Rodgers to start the Ravens game, and then it's DeShone Kizer, it's Crunchy the Clown. Like, I want Krusty. I need Krusty the Clown, and I need Aaron Rodgers, and I need to see this offense work and be assured that everything we've gone through in this preseason is worth it. So I think that kind of wraps us up for our episode. Again, as always, subscribe, rate, review the podcast. Huge help for us. Follow us on Twitter, at Packaday Podcast. Us three are all on Twitter as well. I feel like we all put out fairly decent Twitter content, respectively. I'm on Twitter at DK All The Way. Guys, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. Janelle, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at BigMac_4. So MACK.
Awesome. And guys, next time that we talk, we're going to be preparing for opening weekend or opening night.
Dang, you're right. That's
a
true
fun thing to think about.
That is fun. I'm excited.
Yeah. So until then, guys, enjoy the rest of the preseason games. Enjoy the experience in Winnipeg. But until then, we'll leave you with a big
go, Pack, go. Go.